Take off.
Okay, I hit the record button. That means we've started.
Okay.
That means our voices are being recorded.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we're chatting about the 1992 film Boner Patrol.
Aha, I put that there to see if you read the notes or not.
I read the script. I'm a good actor.
Nice. No, it's not Boner Patrol. It's Under Siege.
Is that like, what's the cartoon with the dogs?
Oh, yeah, Paw Patrol.
Paw Patrol. Boner Patrol. Because they like
Bone bones. Patrol. Bone. I guess that makes sense. They're dogs.
Yeah.
They're chasing after bones.
And they're always interested in the other dog's bone.
Oh, wait. Never their own bone.
And they like to sniff each other's
boners. Boners.
We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
It's my basement.
And 3 years, and a lot of years later, we're back in not a basement.
No, I didn't edit this one. That's okay. We're not in your basement.
We're in Sean's house again.
We're in my living room.
We have living in my basement currently.
Yeah.
And so we're in
Sean's. We got kicked out of Russ's basement.
Kicked out. Get out.
This is my house now.
And we're
squatters' rights.
And you're worried that it's going to get too hot in here because it is midsummer here in.
It's midsummer's dream here.
Midsummer.
I do like it hot, but we don't have AC downstairs.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words,
forget actors' names,
and most importantly, have fun.
I sure hope so.
This is just another review podcast.
I like this, and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Now. How has your summer been so far?
Pretty good. I mean, I'm enjoying this hot weather. I asked for hot weather. We had a bit of a...
Who did you ask?
A January. I asked Mother Nature.
Hello, Mother Nature.
Mother Nature, could you please make it nice and hot this summer?
I'm just thankful.
Because we had a bad June. I called it
January. Or did we have a great June?
What do you mean?
It's wet. There's no fires. There's not as many fires.
Not as many. No,
The greens look still green.
Oh, it's crazy green out right now. Everything's just beautiful. Like kapow.
I like a little rain in my June. I like my June a little wet.
Okay. Well, I'm digging this nice, hot California-type weather up here.
California knows how to party.
They do.
I'm glad you just didn't say you asked.
Go ahead. I'm really looking forward, though, to my main summer vacation, which starts next weekend. Oh. So people kind of wonder what happens in some, why Who? Isn't there so many JARPs recently?
That's the number one question on people's lips.
Yeah, on their lips and on their butts. And so, you know, Russ is a busy guy in the summertime. Work keeps him pretty busy in the summer with stuff. And, we're all both pretty busy with families anyways and then summer vacation. So, yeah.
I'm busy with Sean's family, sometimes, which makes things kind of awkward.
Yeah, that's weird. And I'm busy with your family.
And your daughters look at me and go, Dad?
Yeah. And your wife looks at me and goes, Russ?
Question mark?
And then I take the mask off.
Oh, my gosh. You were wearing a flesh mask?
Yeah. And I go,
it's me, Sean.
It's me, Sean. And she puts her clothes back on, and it wasn't quite a funny joke.
Speaking of ridiculous, we're talking about the 1992 film Under Siege.
Under Siege, this.
Directed by Andrew Davis.
Oh.
And written by J.F. Lawton.
I guess so. Andrew Davis. I don't know who this Andrew Davis guy is. So he did The Fugitive right after this one. So I guess he got some directing notoriety from this movie enough that the studio. Gave him The Fugitive. And I guess Harrison Ford watched this film and then decided to do The Fugitive after watching it.
That's how he convinced Harrison Ford.
I guess feeling confident in the director after watching this movie.
And he obviously saw the best part of this movie, which was Tommy Lee Jones, and said, hey, come over.
Yeah, come exactly. Over
to my Fugitive.
I'm going to use this guy to talk to people about, you know, running distance and, you know, average land speed. And stuff like that.
You know what's a good movie?
What?
The Fugitive.
It is. It's not a bad movie.
But unfortunately, we're talking about Under Siege. So Steven Seagal is the main character.
Seagal.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Car. Do you think he beats the shit out of people? Whoops. Do you think he beats up people when they go, hey, Seagal.
Hey,
Mr. Seagal.
That's not my name.
Seagal. That's super fast hands.
That sounded more exciting than this movie.
It's about all he's got. Have you seen this guy run before? Steven Seagal?
Is he a Tom Cruise runner?
No.
He's a Brad Pitt eater.
Yeah, let me see if I can bring up a clip of him running. You you do you.
We're going to bring up a visual clip for audio medium. Yeah. Gary Busey is also in this. Tommy Lee Jones. Erica Elenek. Mm-hmm. And it made it cost only $35 million. It made $156 million worldwide.
Yeah,
it was a success,
super success.
Now you say it won no awards, but let me tell
I don't
you,
know. I just skipped, it was skipped past
the Oscar awards. Nominated.
Was it
twice? One for best sound and one for best effects.
Best sound.
Best sound.
Like what?
When those rockets.
What?
It's when those rockets.
Oh, wrong. Sean, I'm not used to my new button mapping here.
Oh, you've done some things behind the scenes.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. There we go.
Just
now I have names.
Update everybody at home. The dog is licking my feet.
Oh, it's your feet he's licking? You're lucky. Normally he's licking my...
your lips.
Toes. Oh.
So I think we'll do a little synopsis here, and we've got a little tradition now, a brand new tradition.
Yeah, Russ likes this.
Where me or you will improvise a recap, and then at some point during that recap, it's just going to be taken over by the other guy. We're going to switch.
Watch a switch.
And you're going to finish the recap, and it'll be like this fluid, very coherent. Hang on.
That just
summary, plot summary.
That just... And
no, you interrupt me and I'll stop and you'd be
no that what to switch just gave me a note I had to put down.
What to switch?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one time in Panama, Ryback, who's Steven Seagal, he like punched his like boss and they were like, dude, taking your rank and you're now cook. But he still had like respect, so he got on this big ship, Missouri, and then he was like the captain's best cook.
He made good jambalaya,
and he was very respected by all the good people on the boat. But the bad people didn't like him because they're bad. They're like dogs; they can sense it.
Team crew.
And so, as they're going to decommission the big ship, a bunch of like people who don't like the system, I guess, decide to offload, kill the captain, bring on a fake party, and a Playboy person, a person from Playboy,
Miss 19 July 1989,
and they took over the ship to offload the missiles onto a stolen submarine from Korea.
Okay, wait, has he missed July yet?
Have I what?
He's ran into Miss July, right?
Sure. I'm just saying she's on the boat.
Steven Seagal,
yes.
And big boobs then make the way across the boat, killing terrorist by terrorist and freeing seaman by seaman along the way.
Normally she doesn't touch guns, but she does touch seamen.
Knife fights are key, as rifles are no good here. But kitchen knives will do the trick. One by one, they die by the hands of a seagull. Now, the Russian submarine is somehow involved. Nuclear weapons are somehow involved. The Pentagon is now involved. But the CIA, they're not involved at all. Finally, Steven Seagal makes his way to Tommy Lee Jones for a final boss battle, where he integrates a kitchen knife into Tommy Lee's skull and then continues to give him a face slap into a radar monitor. Hawaii is saved. Steven Seagal is our hero.
Wow.
What do you think?
You forgot about the awkward kiss plants on Jordan.
Oh, where he just grabs her at the end?
You could just
I'll show you some cool moves.
And you can see the look on her face.
Yes. She actually is not happy about it.
Yeah. I think maybe he like improvised that and she's like, yeah, I just no,
out?
Thanks.
Can I get Seagal off the set, please?
No doubt. I bet he was very handsy with her. I bet he was. You know, he's very handsy in combat. I bet he's very, you know, he's like, can someone?
I'm just trying to teach you some moves. I'm just trying to show you how quick my...
Yeah, Steven, we know how quick your hands are.
I'm just trying to... Guys, I'm just...
Why does Steven sound like Napoleon Dynamite all of a sudden?
Yeah, he's got kind of like a soft voice.
Hey, guys.
I'm a...
Damn it. Pedro.
You gotta go feed Tina.
Oh. Tina, come get some ham.
Oh.
Tina, I'm just a lonely cook.
Oh, we're all gonna die.
So, surprise, surprise...
Spoiler alert.
I've never seen this movie, though I think we talked about this in the last podcast.
Oh.
And like
many, right, yeah.
And like many of the old action movies of the 80s and 90s, I don't know much about it. I don't think I've ever watched a Steven Seagal movie. So this is my first time. And though I did find him charismatic in the beginning,
okay,
that waned as the movie went on.
Yeah.
And I was
gets less, old really quick.
Less interested. And Tommy Lee Jones, like I had mentioned, he's pretty much the Sean's opened a bottle of water. He's chug, chug, chugging as I talk.
Oh, it's hot.
It's so hot.
It's damn hot.
Yeah, good thing for Stranix. Tommy Lee Jones is kind of a wild antagonist in this movie.
Let's not forget about Gary Busey.
I would like to. Okay, go ahead. Why
Gary Busey? Well, I just mean he's wild, he's crazy, he's wild, wacky. Crazy. He's silly in this movie, but at least he brings some energy and life to it. You know what I mean?
He brings energy and life to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm like curious why they chose to bring in Tommy Lee and Gary Busey. Bit of not conflicting characters, but you know what I mean? Like
both wild and crazy guys?
Yeah, I even have a note here. Who's crazier in this movie, Gary Busey or Tommy Lee Jones?
I would say Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah?
Like Gary Busey is like kind of this like he creeps up with craziness, but Tommy Jones is like constantly like
constant crazy.
Up to the stars, down.
Right,
to
he's running 6.5 miles per hour at average land speed for an hour and a half. He's got a radius of 6.5 miles around him, right? At all times.
I don't really want to watch the future. Every time you talk about this, I want to watch the future.
No, you're going to watch that scene. You're never going to be able to take that seriously.
Because I kind of forget that movie. I just remember like Harrison Ford jumping out of like a dam and jumping out of a bus. And I just remember Harrison Ford just saying he did not kill his wife. Spoilers.
It's the guy with the prosthetic arm.
There's a man. There was a man.
With a prosthetic arm.
With one arm.
Find out who killed my wife.
And then he jumps that jump scene into the waterfall.
Yeah, that's the damn one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy ass shit, man.
I don't think it was really him.
Oh, what? Yeah. That wasn't Indiana Jones? That wasn't Han Solo?
You know what?
Han Solo wouldn't do that.
Star Wars.
What's a what? What?
A good movie, Star Wars.
Which one?
The original.
Okay.
A New Hope.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Well, the ones with Harrison. Any Star Wars movie with Harrison Ford, good movie.
Okay.
It's true. It's true.
Right. The Force Awakens just had him.
Yeah. Force Awakens.
I like
The Force Awakens. Actually, sorry. The last.
Yeah.
So what? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 did have him as well. It wanted to have Princess Leia, but you know what happened?
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher died.
Oh. I know, yeah, I don't think it was. I think Harrison Ford got up to that dam and he's probably like,
well, I ain't cut out for this hero bullshit. You're in the Navy, remember?
What?
It's not a job, it's an adventure.
And then he jumped. He needed Steven Seagal's
little prep talk.
Little pep talk.
He's got it on his Sony
he's
Walkman.
Like, I ain't no fucking hero.
What are you listening to, Harrison? Oh, it's just Steven Seagal.
Yeah, it's like that guy.
Who's
that?
Motivating
the
tape.
Giant horse guy, Tony Robbins. The guy that's been around forever. You don't know what he does, but he seems to motivate everybody. And people are just successful motivators, eh? That's all they do. They just motivate.
Yeah.
I'm like, what have you done, Tony Robbins? Like
you're gonna
have you invented something? Yeah. What's made no.
No, I just say, here and I am. Motivate rich people. Give me an apple.
I'd hate to hear
he looks you like a horse,
the,
I think.
I'd hate to hear you talk about the Kardashians.
And he eats apples like that, like raw out of your hand. He's just like, hold it out for me. What are you doing, Tony Robbins? Just hold out that apple.
That's
like Mowgli, or what's his name?
Mowgli?
I don't know who's the guy. Chris Kattan from SNL when he played the little monkey and he would just like just destroy those apples.
Oh yeah. Isn't it Manuel? Isn't
it? I don't know. To do like that's how I picture what Tony Robbins does when somebody puts an apple out in front of him.
You want to see motivation? Watch me go through this apple.
It's like holy shit! This Tony Robbins guy is for real.
Take my money.
Take my apples, Tony Robbins. Holy shit, it's getting hot in here. I'm starting to get a little delirious.
It's fine.
I'm starting to sweat.
Oh, this is what's going to make Sean really peak.
So
obviously.
Oh, you do have notes.
I have notes.
I didn't see that.
I added
Scroll
them.
Scroll down, Sean.
I just added them right now. Right now. Probably the best part, other than Tommy Lee Jones, is of course for any, which I assume, how old were you when you watched this movie? 1992. So you would have been like 13. What? You would have been 14?
We were both 14.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is prime cranking time,
I was
right?
going to say, beautiful Erica I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Just Ellen. Erica from Baywatch.
Oh, she was from Baywatch. Is that
dude? Where have you been?
I don't know.
Come on.
I just know Pamela Anderson. So
her image has been burned into my 14-year-old memory. Crank down banks.
Crank down banks.
Yeah. Oh, it's a term they use in workaholics. They call it cranking down.
A show I think still it's pretty funny. Not watched yet. Crank down banks.
Crank down
banks.
Cranking down.
Crank it down.
Cranking down.
What was that movie? Jack Lacken? Yo, you guys all like Jack Lacken around?
Slap Happens?
Slap Happy.
It's a new game by Hasbro. Slap Happens. How long will it take you to go?
Set your timer. Get the Kleenex box and a sock.
Russ got 15 seconds. New world record.
It's like convincing kids to buy a pet rock. You just convince kids to buy like a sock and a box.
Yeah, just an egg timer and a closet.
I beat the record. The box says you can't beat 30 seconds. I did it in 20.
I beat so much.
I beat me. And I can beat you too.
My dad beats me.
Oh, no.
No. Under Siege.
So some people compare this to a Die Hard on the boat.
Yeah.
And I would say wrong, because Die Hard is an amazing movie.
Yeah.
And
with good characters
and well-conceived characters.
Great writing.
And thrills. So I don't want to like completely say that Andrew Davis, the director of this movie and The Fugitive, is out to lunch. But I didn't think it was well directed. I didn't understand where people were.
Yeah.
In comparison to other people.
No, the action scenes were horrible.
And at some points it seemed like they were just carelessly walking through the boat, and other times it seemed like they were constantly under fire. Like, I didn't understand.
You didn't understand where they had to sort of tiptoe around guys and where they were kind of able to roam free undetected.
On the decks of the boat, they seemed to be like, in the middle of a battle, they'd just be like hanging out, and you're like,
established when they had to be sneaky. And then, near in the third act, they're fucking with the whole nuclear railing system by like unwelding things. It's just like they've got all this time in the world to build a fucking A-team van, you know what I mean? And then
It's a little,
I guess the only thing you could say about that is, okay, well, he was killing off guys as they did that, so the people that would have detected them sort of got killed along the way. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And it also seemed like there was maybe 20 people in a helicopter, but then when they get on the ship, there was like 800.
Yeah, and they can take over 1,000 seamen.
Different aspects of the boat.
Do you know what they call sailors?
People that work.
Seamen!
Okay.
I think that's funny.
Compared to like a blood sport.
I think that's funny!
Which I really liked. And compared to like younger Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, like Conan, which I really liked. I just don't think.
I think Seagull was pretty popular at this time, right?
So why?
So I think that's why. I don't know. From his probably he. I remember what was marked for death. See, I remember these all as a kid, and because as a kid, martial arts, Steven Seagull kicks ass. But now, if we went back and watched, I'm sure they're horrible.
Sure.
Above the Law.
So, before this movie had Out for Justice.
Out for Justice was
Marked
the first
for Death, one. Hard to Kill, and Above the Law. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
sorry, or Above the Law maybe might have been the first one.
So I don't know any of these movies.
No. They were like his first couple calling cards, and then, and then he did this, and then he, I don't know, somehow this put him into.
And I think the same director, directed one of these earlier movies with him as well.
I don't know.
No.
Maybe.
No, I don't know either, but I'm going to say it happened.
You're saying what's happening in the U.S. at this time? I think this was obviously just a couple years post-Gulf War.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
George Bush is actually in this movie.
I feel like they've got the whole, Gulf War's over, we can relax now type of energy about it, maybe. Right.
Pro-USA.
They're just now, going back to honor Pearl Harbor and stuff like that. What is the word I'm looking for? Intermittent threat.
All is calm on the Western Front. You know what I thought? Because I was just thinking about this as a formatting thing behind the scenes.
For us or them?
Yeah, no, for both. I want the listeners to
Notes
know.
Notes by Russ.
So you have a button on your machine.
Yeah.
You can just pause and then and then unpause. So it looks like there's been no break whatsoever.
Right.
Okay. So if
do you want me to do that right now?
Well, I just want to say, like, so if you ask me a question that I know nothing about, instead of going like, I don't know that, I could just look at you. You could pause it. I could research it. Like, I could take,
pause.
I could take 10 minutes to research it. You could unpause.
What am I supposed to do for 10 minutes?
And I would
crank
just
down
and I would just respond as if I knew that information.
Oh, so I could go queue up Steven Seagal here while you research and I'll go crank down.
Ask me a question about Steven Seagal that just I have kidding. No idea. I would have no idea what the answer was, and then just pause it, and then I'll answer it like I did. Ask me a question.
Where was Steven Seagal born?
Lansing, Michigan, in the United States, Sean.
Man, obviously. You know everything about Steven Seagal.
Did you know when he was born in April 10th, 1952, he grew to become an actor, producer, screenwriter, martial artist, and musician?
Oh, I bet he plays a mean...
Saxophone?
Oh, I was going to say harmonica.
Oh, yeah. I bet he does both. I don't know actually what he plays. Oh, actually. Well, come on. I should have looked at you and I would have told you exactly what he plays.
Hey, what instrument does Steven Seagal play?
He's a guitarist, Sean. He's released two studio albums.
Everything about Steven Seagal, man.
One of my favorite songs of his is The Crystal Cave or The Mojo Priest. But yeah, quite good. And sometimes he puts them in his films, which is kind of cool. Mm. Anyways,
I thought this movie was better. Okay. And I think
you thought it was better.
Yeah.
And then you realized it was not better
compared to what it actually is, which is not a very good action movie. So, but it made a lot of movies. So I think maybe just action movies really sucked back then. I don't know.
I think when it just doesn't hold up.
But Die Hard didn't suck.
I know.
Predator didn't suck.
Because it's more than just some neat action scenes.
True.
Action scenes.
I guess everyone thinks Roadhouse sucked. This is probably the same time around Roadhouse, I bet.
Yeah, Roadhouse kind of sucks, though.
I mean, we were just all dumb around then, you know? Maybe no one was looking for anything.
I think we just liked to have
any
a good time.
Substance to it. No, you know?
We were here for a good time, not a long time.
I guess so.
Yeah,
not a long time.
It's not a bad thing to. To leave
so have a good time.
Brain at the
door.
The sun
don't shine every day, man.
Just go and enjoy yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But there's just so much.
I think this is exact. Like people just the Gulf War is over. They want to relax. They're like, you know, we're tired of being heroes.
Well, I ain't cut out for this hero bullshit. You're in the Navy, remember? Right?
And then this is how
a job. It's an adventure.
See, and then that's how they're trying.
That should be a promo video.
They're trying to promote.
It's an adventure.
That was probably the tagline for the Navy right then.
It's an adventure.
It's not an adventure.
It's not a job. It's an adventure.
You can be on a boat with 1,000 other men.
When you get paid to be an adventurer, you don't work a single day of your life.
Ever. It's just an adventure.
I kind of made me think about Cliffhanger a little bit, just the cheesiness of the Cliffhanger film and the bad guys and trying to fight each bad guy. Though I remember really liking Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger's got some more personality to it. It's filmed really well.
You know what has a lot of personality? Cheese Whiz.
I always said Ritz Crackers for a second. I was like, that's not it.
Ritz Crackers has personality. Personality.
Ooh.
Spread some Cheese Whiz on those Ritz Crackers.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Cheese Whiz has... anything else with this film, Sean?
Not really. Again, I was disappointed. I thought this was going to be better.
You did. You hyped it up. You're
I
like,
did. Because oh, I was like, oh, geez, this is like...
Remember the boobs?
A really good... 90s action movie. I thought sure. For sure.
And it should stay in the 90s, probably. Should stay in your spank
way
bank.
Back in the 90s. Totally. Are we going to rate this first, or are we going to sure. call Hollywood
let's,
Matt?
No, let's rate it.
Let's rate it first? Okay.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
You suck.
This is the part where we rate the movie 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't believe in zeros because at least someone made effort to
someone
make a movie.
Someone tried.
Yeah.
And
I use a rating meter mm-hmm. and actually go through categories and stuff. And Russ just goes off whether it was better or worse than The Great Outdoors.
And guess what?
Which he gave a neutral 2.5 rating.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that's what Russ gave The Great Outdoors. So if it's better than The Great Outdoors, he's saying it's better than 2.5.
Right.
And if he's saying it's worse than The Great Outdoors... He's in theory saying it's less than 2.5. So if you need a number to associate with Russ, that's probably all you're going to get. Higher or lower than 2.5.
If you're keeping track at home. You know what this movie is? It's not as good as The Great Outdoors.
Oh, what? Not as good. So below a 2.5.
It's below a 2.5.
It's not a good
average movie. John Candy might have really helped this film. Sean opens up his water bottle and drinks. What do you think about this?
I thought I had a moment to take a sip here.
Did we just talk about how John Candy should be in Under Siege?
John Candy should be in just about everything.
Great point.
Rest in peace, John Candy. We miss you terribly. I gave this just a straight up 2.5 average. It got points for length being not very long and set locations and design. It looked like they used real naval carriers and stuff like that.
It's not CG.
Yeah. Gave them a little bit of props for that. So if they didn't do that, it would have been right there with Rust below 2.5.
Sean, they didn't film it in the volume.
Yeah. Other than that, the action sequences were sloppy and unbelievable. I thought this movie had better action sequences from what I remember, but I guess the cake jump and the final boss battle are the only two redeeming sequences here.
Right.
Yeah. You're talking about the boss battle? Oh, right. I kind of said it in
your synopsis.
Yeah. It's just pokes so out his quick. Eye. They have this little knife fight, and then all of a sudden, he eye gouges him, takes his Rambo knife, and spikes him right through the top of the head with it, and then takes his head and rams it through a radar screen.
And again, a little bit
like the knife through his skull wasn't enough. He's like, finish you off through the radar screen.
Too much importance for a boss battle, because you know, like, if Steven Seagal actually had to fight Tommy Lee Jones, it would be over in like 10 seconds.
Probably.
Like,
People question Steven Seagal's martial artistry.
Like, you could tell.
Yeah, I still don't doubt that he has martial arts experience and a far greater experience than the common man. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he knows like jujitsu and judo and stuff like that. I'll give him that. But is he as decorated as he claims to be?
I'll tell you what he knows.
What kind of martial arts awards does Steven Seagal have, Russ?
He's a 7th Dan black belt in Aikido.
You know everything about Steven Seagal.
He's just my favorite nothing.
Oh.
Because I love lots of nothings, and he's my favorite nothing.
Man.
Should we call Matt?
You want to give him a show?
Give him a show. We're going to call Hollywood Matt. Matt lives in Orange County, which we just consider as part of Hollywood, Los Angeles. And he's going to give us the scoop on everything that's happening in Hollywood.
Maybe, if he doesn't hang up on us this time.
Well, I think he was busy last time.
Right. Uh-oh. Sounds like he's busy this time.
Uh-oh. And it's...
Oh, wait. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Matt. Hollywood Matt. Welcome to Dart Podcast.
Oh, hi.
Matt, can you hear the music?
Exciting.
Yes, he can.
Oh, he can? Okay.
Yeah, he can hear us, too.
Can you hear me, Matt?
I can hear you both. I can hear slight music in the background.
Okay, slight.
That's okay. Our listeners can hear it better. You'll hear it next week.
Oh, do you listen to
Dart? Oh, this is exciting.
Do you listen to the podcast, Matt?
Yes. Oh, especially when I'm on.
Yeah.
Okay, Russ.
Okay, ready?
Hit him with some trivia.
Okay, ready, Matt? Box office is in, and the winner is Twisters. It's whipping up a huge storm with records 80.5 million domestic opening. What is Hollywood saying about the Twisters movie?
That it's a good movie.
Have you seen it?
No, I have. I feel like this is probably a good... Let's go to the movies and see a movie.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds like it's a good summer movie.
Yeah.
Hit him up, Russ.
Matt, we've talked about it before, but Suits officially has an LA spinoff. It's a go at NBC. What is Hollywood saying about Suits?
Hollywood also likes that, I guess.
We lost a legend. Bob Newhart has died. What is Hollywood saying as tribute to the comedian Bob Newhart?
I love that. Like, this is my brother, Daryl, and my other brother, Daryl. Bob Newhart was great. I think everyone loved his brothers, too.
Matt, the Star Wars show, The Acolyte, has wrapped up, and people are talking about Manny Jacinto. Oh, man. And his performance on and off stage. What is everyone saying about Manny Jacinto?
Who's Manny Jacinto?
Did you ever watch the movie? Did you ever watch the show when they were in heaven and Ted Danson's in it and The Good Place? Have you watched The Good Place?
No.
Okay, Matt, have you watched The Good Place?
No.
Manny Jacinto is that's not how you say his last name. Manny is in The Good Place. He's freaking hilarious in The Good Place, and he plays a character in the new show Star Wars: The Acolyte. And
Matt, what are they saying about Manny Jacinto?
I don't know, but if he's tied to that series, it probably all sucks. Because that series sucks. All these Star Wars spinoffs suck. They're getting worse.
No.
Which is unfortunate.
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah, they're just low budget.
Don't say them all.
Bad sci-fi storylines. Everything's been silly. The whole thing sucks. Right. I think the person is probably going to be canceled.
Correct.
All right, Hollywood Matt.
Last one. Matt, I'll correct you. Star Wars Andor is a television series that does not suck.
Oh, fair.
Okay, thank you. Let's just get that out there.
I agree.
This is a pro Andor podcast. But everything else, you are correct. Sucks. After maybe The Mandalorian Season 2 and the first half of... What's the Boba Fett? Okay, Matt, last question. The Russo brothers are back. They're slated to direct the next two Avenger movies. What is Hollywood saying about that?
Say who? What brothers?
The Russo brothers. They directed Civil War and the last two Avengers movies. And they made a lot of money. And ever since graduating from Marvel Studios, they've made terrible movies.
The Russo bros. On
Netflix and Apple TV. So they're back with Marvel again to hopefully make something good. But I doubt it. What is Hollywood saying about that?
I doubt it, too. Everything's going to shit. We need new things.
New things. Anything you want to add, Matt, before you hang up on us?
I miss you all.
I miss you, yeah.
We miss you too.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see you all again.
How hot is it in California?
Well, let's see. At this particular location, it's around 80 degrees, which I can't do the math anymore to convert back. But at other locations, it's much hotter.
Yeah. Are you in the pool?
Like, it's at least...
Are you soaking
up
the pool?
No.
Okay.
I'm weed whacking. Okay. I'm weed whacking.
Oh,
he's manscaping. Nice.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to do that.
Bye, Matt.
Bye.
That's California Matt. Did he hang up or did you just make the sound effect?
I did the sound effect and then he just hung up while I did the sound effect.
John, I'm kind of interested what you're interested in right now.
What I'm interested in right now? Well, I told you I'm going through...
No, play the sound.
Oh, right. Okay, wait. Let's try that again.
Hey, guy. Sean, I just sit here on a chair and look at my laptop, and Sean has three terminals in front of him managing his notes, his sound effects on one board, his sound effects on another board, and
he doesn't know how I do it.
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And if I pretend to give you a hard time, I'm really not.
I'm impressed. It's okay.
I'm impressed by...
I appreciate it.
Your talent and my lack of talent.
Sure.
What are you listening to? What are you watching, Sean? What are you interested in outside of Under Siege?
Right. Under Siege was not good enough for me to go down the Under Siege train and go to number two there. No pun intended. I've just been sticking on the Workaholics a lot. I find it so funny. They're 20-minute episodes. Oh. It's just good... brainless comedy about a couple stoners roommates that live together reminds me of when I was a young 20-year-old goofball. Now I'm a 46-year-old goofball.
An old
goofball. I gave your Phantasmas a go.
One episode, two episodes?
I gave it one and a half.
It's too weird for you?
It was really weird. It's really weird.
It's kind of funny, though.
The thing I took out of the first episode of what was funny was that the Alf parody. Yeah.
So
I'm going to cough here.
So funny.
Oh, yeah. They did this Alf spinoff. So it wasn't Alf. They gave it a different name. And it was but then it was the dad and the alien became infatuated with each other. And he leaves his wife for the alien and stuff like that. It just... goes off on this crazy tangent. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, a little weird. I don't know. Just weird. Not my cup of tea.
Sure.
Tried watching The Fall Guy with the wife and I just passed out right away.
Are you tired?
Maybe a little bit. It was a bit of a long day. But maybe I'll give it another go and see. But she even admitted, she said, it did take a while to get going. I just recently rewatched Mother, the Darren Aronofsky horror film with, oh, why is her name? Jennifer Lawrence. Oh,
okay.
And Javier Bardem is in it.
Okay.
Ed Harris is in it. Michelle Pfeiffer is in it. Wow. There's a lots of good people in it. It is crazy as fuck, this movie.
Oh, really? I've never seen it. I don't even think I know about this
movie. Yeah.
I like all
those
people.
I'll send you to where you
can watch it. Kristen Wiig's in it?
Yeah, I Domhnall Gleeson? Can't even tell you. So anyways, my first viewing, I was like, what is this?
And Emily Hampshire's in it?
And then I went down the rabbit hole, and it's basically a whole, well, I guess it's Darren Aronofsky's take on...
Motherhood?
No, like mother, like planet Earth almost, and like the... start of humanity and religion and God versus like creation and stuff like that. It's crazy. So basically, Javier Bardem is God. Jennifer Lawrence is Mother Nature or Mother Earth, if you want to refer it to. Okay. Ed Harris is Adam. Michelle Pfeiffer is Eve. Their kids come into the picture, which are basically like Cain and Abel. What? She has a baby really quick, which is sort of like
taking place in modern day.
Yeah, but it all takes place in the house. You never leave the house the whole movie.
What?
And the house is like the self-containment for... And Javier Bardem's got like this gem that no one's allowed to touch, sort of signifies... And he keeps it in his den, which is like the Garden of Eden. Right. And then Adam and Eve kind of, after being told a million times to not go in this room, they smash the gem. And oh, it's crazy. Ends it gets humanity. Crazy.
Oh, cool.
You got to watch it. It's crazy. Okay. And then I watched, I don't know if I talked about this, The Watchers, I think it's called, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's daughter.
His daughter. Yeah. I think you did
talk about it. I think I did too. Yeah, yeah. Now that I say it like that, I kind of remember.
You say it racistly.
How is that racist? His name's how do you pronounce his last name? Shyamalama Ding Dong. That's what I always say. It's not racist. It's just he's got a crazy ass long name.
You're not doing it on purpose, though.
No, you? If I go Arnold Schwarzenegger pretzel, no one's going to be like, "Oh, you're racist." Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. But it's funny, but you don't do that. You don't mess it up because he's a white guy.
Right. So you've got me off guard again. I'm so racist. I hate you.
You know what I'm watching? It's a little show called House of the Dragon.
Oh,
did you watch season one?
I did. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I think
what are you
waiting
for?
I guess time, so that me and the wife can be like, hey, let's watch this. We're trying to get through The Bear right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've got through The Bear. Not as good as season one and two.
Episode one was amazing.
I loved episode one.
It's like
the Previously On, but instead they just created like a whole episode of Previously On with new
and they didn't footage. Do barely any speaking. Yeah, and it, the musical score, which I thought and watched the credits to clarify, was Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. So yeah, they did amazing.
Yeah.
Second episode was horrible. It's just the yelling and the editing. It was horrible. It's
like an episode of The Bear, 30, 40 minutes, instead of, because I think it was always intended to be three seasons. So they're like, you know, Disney, no.
Let's make it five.
Make it four. Mm. And so I think they pretty much took one episode and stretched it into a full season. Because there wasn't, like, the decisions they had to make in, like, pretty much episode one, they were still hadn't made it by the end of that season. Like, there was just a lot of stretched out drama that didn't need to be stretched out. I mean,
I'm four episodes in and they haven't even touched base on the girlfriend that he did dirty.
And they will not.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
No, they won't. They do not resolve anything.
That's what I heard.
It's unfortunate. Like, we all love the characters and we're happy to be in the world. And there was just some weird...
Why do they have to ruin things like this by stretching it out more? Why can't they just...
Why are people so greedy?
They are greedy. This is the corporate shit that ruins art like this. You know, like Lost should have been two seasons shorter than it was.
Oh, two seasons shorter than it was.
Yeah.
They had to, similar to this, they had to deal with the writers.
They ruined that by stretching it out. Not ruined it, but it could have been much better.
Sure.
Maybe. This show, obviously, and I'm sure I can, there's lots of others. I just can't come up with them on the top of my head right now.
Okay. But you know who does it right? The Brits. Huh? Mm. Two seasons and a Christmas special.
Mm.
That's what they do in England.
With The Office?
And what was the one he did after that where he was like, extras. They did two seasons.
I never saw that one.
Oh, I liked it.
I'm going to take a sip now.
Okay, this is where Sean opens his water bottle and drinks it. So House of the Dragon season two, a lot better than season one, or just getting better.
Season one was really good. So to know that it's better than season one.
Because it just slows down. Hmm. Just goes, okay, we're not going to like move forward 8 years from episode to episode.
Just to pick up right where the last one left off for those. Dragon killed the kid.
Yeah, exactly. Back to back. And it's just a slow, now it's just a slow building of this dragon war. Mm. Civil War, Dragon War. I tried to watch Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
Good for you. I've seen it. I have not clicked play.
You've seen that it exists. Are you okay?
Yes, I know that it exists.
But you have not watched it yet. Okay, let me know if you get it. I tried, but I did not conquer. And that's what Sean and I are watching outside of Under Siege 2.
Nice. You're going to go watch Under Siege 2 now?
Sorry.
No.
T-O-O?
Yeah.
As well?
Yeah.
And are you ready?
They just jumped onto another boat off the other one.
Are you ready for a random movie?
Random movie trivia game.
Sure am.
We've got some cards here. We've never seen these cards. I have like
in my life.
Hundreds in my hand. I'm going to fan them all out. Sean can.
He's always like, you can't see, but he's always kind of like.
Whichever card he wants. He
tries to. I gotta move this mic. He like kind of tries to influence me by cutting the deck, and he's like, "Here, this is so random. Take anyone.
Take this specific."
But
one.
But he basically like
that I've committed
puts
to
my
memory.
Hand on a card.
That's not a card.
That's not a card.
That's not a knife.
That's a knife. Who's going first?
I'll ask you first.
Okay.
What country is the setting of... Oh, this is weird. What country is the setting of The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
What country?
What country is the setting of The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
What country?
What country? There's a few of them in all of the world.
I understand.
Which country is the setting of The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
The United States of America?
It's funny because we were just making a joke about the crocodile hunter, and which I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Oh.
So The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, filmed and setted in Australia.
Well, I've never seen it.
Isn't
that Wesley Snipes in that
No,
one?
No, that's... thanks
to Wong Fu, thanks Wong for Fu, everything. Julie, yeah, that's another more. No,
this is like the guy from Clockwork Orange and the guy from, you know, Rivendell, Lord of the Rings, Hugo Weaving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good movie.
Great.
Yeah, and I think a lot of ABBA.
Okay.
Oh, you know who's in it?
No, because I've never seen it.
Well, am I making this up now? No, I'm thinking probably. Muriel's Wedding or something like that. No, I'm
He's
not.
He's sweating.
Anyways, here we go.
Profusely. No, it's my turn.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, calm down. What film is based on the real-life courtship between Pakistan-born comedian Kumail and grad student Emily? What film is based on the real-life courtship between Pakistan-born comedian Kumail?
Yeah.
Kumail and grad student Emily?
The Big Sick.
Correct.
Oh. That is correct.
Thank you. Okay, you ready?
No.
What Spielberg film set during the Cold War sees a prisoner exchange on the Glinky Bridge? The Glinky Bridge, I'll spell it. Glinicke.
During the Cold War?
Yeah, what Spielberg film set during the Cold War sees a prisoner exchange on the Glinky Bridge?
Munich?
Bridge of Spies.
What? I don't remember that movie. Do you remember that Spielberg movie?
Yeah, it has Tom Hanks.
Oh, I never saw it.
Well, I can't help you, man.
Okay.
I never saw Under Siege before.
Good. I hate you. In what city does Clark... Oh my God, are you serious? In what city does Clark Kent work as a reporter? Where does Clark Kent work? Where does he work?
It's a fictional city.
Yeah, the city.
Metropolis? I was
correct.
I wanted to say
that is correct.
I want to say New York. Is Gotham New York?
Whoops, I got zero. You got two. What's going on?
What is the equivalent of Metropolis in the DC universe? Like, is it supposed to
be Gotham City?
Gotham and Metropolis is in the same
world. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Whatever the city Tony Stark has the Avengers.
Tony Stark is based out of. Tony Stark.
Marvel, where he has the Avengers Tower.
That's New York.
Then New York is Metropolis.
Shut up. Okay.
No, you're asking. They don't have like that's. It's that's what it is.
DC is different than Marvel. You understand that, right?
Didn't you ask what the equivalent was though in the Marvel
in real life?
Oh, of Metropolis.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, New York City.
But when what's Gotham then? Isn't Gotham the
Chicago?
Oh, okay. Thank
probably.
You. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Or like just dark New York, but I imagine like it's probably Chicago.
The dark web,
but bigger.
Right before Giuliani. Okay.
Mm.
I can't wait to do this one.
Your turn. Yeah. To read to me.
Who plays the brilliant and devious mother in the 60s version of the Manchurian Candidate?
Oh, fuck if I know.
I mean, I want you to just think about it.
Okay, say the Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, who plays the brilliant and devious mother in the 60s version of the Manchurian Candidate? So I want you to just think of the 60s and think of someone who could play a mother and probably stayed acting for a long time. So then maybe when we were growing up, they were maybe a little bit older and in stuff that we would recognize. And
Judi Dench?
I mean, that's a fine answer, but it's wrong.
Probably. Well, I know it's wrong.
You just told have me. You ever heard about a show called Murder, She Wrote?
Oh, wait.
Yep. You got it. It's right there.
Angela?
Yep. Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Yep, you got it.
Angela.
She's like she's the balloon lady in the second
Angela
movie about.
Oh, want to say no, it's not Bassett. It's not Angela Bassett. Nope, it's not Angela Bassett. Lansbury.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Correct.
Yay. Okay, for the win.
Okay.
The line greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Is from what 80s movie? The line greed, for lack of a better word, is good, is from what 80s movie?
Greed?
Okay.
For lack of a better word, is good.
Greed is good. Wall Street?
Oh, I fucking hate you.
Correct.
Oh, wait, we still have one more, but technically you just won.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we got two more.
All right.
Just the only, if someone said what movie is about greed in the 80s, I would have just said Wall Street.
Yeah, you got the easy ones, we know.
In Armageddon, who does NASA send into space to stop an asteroid? Okay, you got three choices. One, Navy SEALs. Two, oil drillers. Three, scientists.
Drillers.
Yeah, who do you think Ben Affleck would be? A Navy SEAL, an oil driller, or a scientist?
He'd be a driller.
How do you like them, these apples?
Correct.
Okay.
You got 1 point.
Yeah.
Out of a...
What ice planet does the Empire Strikes Back begin on?
Oh. Ice planet. Hoth?
Yep.
Correct.
You would have got 4 out of 4?
I did get 4 out of 4.
Random movie.
I did. I didn't. I would have.
Well, yeah. You're right. We didn't have to stop.
Yay, you. I'm a movie genius.
You are.
All right.
I don't know. What else we got here?
Nothing. The podcast is over.
Podcast is done.
Okay, goodbye, everybody. Enjoy your summer.
Love you.
We might not be podcasting again for another, couple weeks?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
But we love you all.
If you have any recommendations, you can email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, right.
JARP. We do have an Instagram account with
We need some recos, right?
Recos. Yeah.
Recos for movies. Come on. Yeah. What do you want to hear us talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Recommend something. We take just about everyone.
If you don't let us know, it'll be like either Cliffhanger or The Fugitive. That's what we talked about today.
Well, maybe The Fugitive would be good.
Yeah.
But no, come on.
With the Tommy Lee Jones.
First one to recommend something wins.
Wow.
First one to recommend something wins.
Wow.
First one to recommend.
Big stakes.
Something wins.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Love you.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, 'cause it's now.